apathy or blunted awareness. But for a minute, descending one of the tummy twister hills that undulate around the shore, I see all the ups and downs of the past several years as just that, mere ups and downs. I am suspicious of their swift barometric shifts and instead appreciative of steadiness. I have begun to sense that living always in search of a new triumph or adventure, spending each morning run fantasizing about the moment when I'll accept the award or board the flight to Singapore or say, "Well, Terry, thanks so much for having me," means living in perpetual, haphazard evasion of the ordinary. The reality is that post-publication or post-graduation or post-arrival in the Indonesian backcountry is composed of the same arrangement of sunrise to sunset, coffee to beer, and back again. The quickly familiar quotidian starts to chafe, and I'm once again lusting after the next peak. Running that morning, I think, perhaps steadiness is not capitulating, but transcending. Cows, crows, a tilting hand-painted sign pointing right and reading corn. All around me, Ohio embodies the tame middle, the heartland. Neither mountain nor ocean nor brimming metropolis. Cheeseburger soup at the wooden wheel and Queen Anne's lace and long-winded neighbors who call Jorge George. That September, I write in the mornings and dig up weeds in the afternoons, and for the first time in a decade, I do not think about the future. I do not want to plan another trip. I do not want to grab at opportunity, but simply to be where I am, which, in a twist I never would have imagined, is this modest patch of the Midwest where I grew up. Amid this strange new ease, Jorge and I say, "Well, let's see what happens." Meaning, we'll give having a baby a go, and if it works, it works. And if not, we'll continue with our beers and boggle in the long summer evenings. It is a decision that feels at the time like driving into Columbus to watch my niece's softball game. Nice, comfortable, maybe a bit more humdrum and domestic than we'd like to envision ourselves, but important in its way, and part of an essential and not quite nameable process of growing up. It is night by the time Jorge returns with the test. My family is having a bonfire in the apple orchard. Meg and Dad are sipping beers, telling stories, their faces aglow. Dad's beard, once a brilliant ginger, has gone white, and Meg's hair is silvery in the moonlight, but both look younger than their respective decades, his 60s, her 50s. They are fit and energetic from farm work, home cooking, poetry in the mornings, horseback rides in the afternoons, a vigorous country existence they'd dreamed of since they first met nearly 30 years ago. They bought these 40 acres in 2002 and have spent the past decade making them a home. They built the horse barn down the slope from the orchard, the house on the rise across the ravine, the dog run, the chicken coop, the tractor shed, the loft in the old red barn. They laid gravel, they fenced and dug and seeded and tended a garden. They carved the bonfire pit, planted wildflowers, set rocking chairs on the cabin porch, mowed the pastures, hung a wooden swing deep in a grove of maple, unchoked trees from the clutch of bittersweet, set hand-hewn birdhouses on the posts of the horse fence. This is their new life together after decades of raising children in Columbus. It is their shared work, and it has smoothed and enlivened them like a river brightens stones. When Jorge and I first moved in, Dad was worried about boundaries, and in his methodical research scientist way, drew up a list of rules and conditions we'd all abide by. Quiet time from 1 to 4 p.m., shared chores and duties, and dinner approximately 3 times a week, but not every night. "We have a little flexibility here," he explained, with trademark Dad attention to detail, going on to suggest that maybe we'll eat together Tuesday, but not Wednesday, Friday, but not Saturday, and so on, until Jorge and I nod that yes, we've got it. This Dad contract went out the window early the next afternoon, when Dad popped up around 2 p.m. to see if Jorge wanted to go fishing, and was pretty much wholly forgotten from that point on. We end up in a natural rhythm, coinciding in the space between house and cabin, by the garden or chicken coop, calling one another up when we've made stew, or, in Dad's case, sauntering up in his distinct Dad way, looking for a buddy to help saw wood or talk turkey hunting. "Hoo boy," he begins, and he and Jorge...